Welcome to King James Seminary. Today we'll be looking at Daniel chapter 4. Daniel chapter 4 concerns Nebuchadnezzar's illness. If you get there, please. We appreciate everybody that is here today and who is present. And we appreciate those who are students and listeners. Daniel chapter 4, if you get there, please. Okay, that should be enough time. Got stragglers. Okay. Let's start here with the exposition. Verses 1 through 3 are included in the previous chapter in the Hebrew Bible and are given here to show that the following events are Nebuchadnezzar's own account of what happened to him. So let's look at verses 1 through 3 of Daniel 4. Quote, Nebuchadnezzar the king unto all people, nations and languages that dwell in all the earth. Peace be multiplied unto you. I thought it good to show the signs and wonders that the high God hath wrought toward me. End quote. Nebuchadnezzar addressed a recount of the illness that occurred to him. So that would put the composition of this chapter after the event happened, in his own words. It was in his own words, but recorded by Daniel. The reason or purpose for his recollection to the public for display is given in verse 2. It says, he thought it good to relate as to why he had been absent from the public for 7 years. Verse 4 begins his account. So let's take a look at the next little section there, verses 4 through 7. Quote, I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at rest in mine house and flourishing in my palace. I saw a dream which made me afraid, and the thoughts upon my bed and the visions of my head troubled me. Therefore made I a decree to bring in all the wise men of Babylon before me, that they might make known unto me the interpretation of the dream. Then came in the magicians, the astrologers, the Chaldeans, and the soothsayers. And I told the dream before them, but they did not make known unto me the interpretation thereof. End quote. Being at rest and flourishing would put this account in the latter part of the king's reign. The Septuagint reads, quote, in the 18th year of his reign, Nebuchadnezzar said, end quote. This must be compared to the reading in Jeremiah chapter 52, verse 12, quote, now in the fifth month, in the tenth day of the month, which was the 19th year of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came Nebuzaradan, captain of the guard, which served the king of Babylon, into Jerusalem. End quote. This simply points out that there were several ways of reckoning the date. One way of reckoning the date was to make to start with the capture of Jerusalem as the beginning date. Another way was to date the events from the beginning of the exiles. When was the first exile? Yet a third way was to date things from the date that Nebuchadnezzar took the throne in Babylon as sole monarch. There are yet other ways. So, basically, just to keep in mind that the dating mentioned is in no way a contradiction in Scripture. They're just different methods of date setting. The date here is probably around 570 BC, 570 BC, by the dating system that we presently use and are familiar with. Nebuchadnezzar died in 561 BC, having reigned 43 years. That would make this about 33 years after the incident that is recorded in chapter 2. There are remarkable similarities between this account and the one given in chapter 2. There are remarkable similarities between this account and the one given in chapter 2. Mainly, the situation was that there had been a dream that bothered the king, and his magi were called to advise him. Once again, the difference in this new account was that the king remembered his dream, unlike the previous account where he had forgotten all what it was. Knowing the cruel wrath of the king, the advisors were not willing to put forth any interpretation of the given dream. Nebuchadnezzar was known as the Wicked One in Jewish literature, and was not to be trusted. According to ancient accounts, bloodthirsty Nebuchadnezzar had over 600 Jews slaughtered who had obeyed the order to bow the knee to the idol of the previous chapter. But he spared only the three friends of Daniel, whom he viewed as being obedient to God. Let's look at verses 8 through 18. Nebuchadnezzar at this point related the dream to Daniel, which is as follows. Excuse me. Quote, "But at the last Daniel came in before me, whose name was Belteshazzar, according to the name of my God, and in whom is the spirit of the holy gods. And before him I told the dream, saying, O Belteshazzar, master of the magicians, because I know that the spirit of the holy gods is in thee, and no secret troubleth thee. Tell me the visions of my dream that I have seen and the interpretation thereof." Thus there were the visions of mine head in my bed, I say, and behold a tree in the midst of the earth, and the height thereof was great. The tree grew and was strong, and the height thereof reached into heaven, and the sight thereof to the end of all the earth. The leaves thereof were fair, and the fruit thereof much. And in it was the meat, was meat for all. The beasts of the field had shadow under it, and the fowls of heaven dwelt in the burrows thereof, and all flesh was fed of it. I saw in the visions of my head upon my bed, and behold, a watcher and an holy one came down from heaven. He cried aloud and said, Thus hew down the tree and cut off his branches, shake off his leaves and scatter his fruit. Let the beasts get away from under it, and the fowls from his branches. Nevertheless, leave the stump of his roots in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass, in the tender grass of the field. And let it be wet with the dew of heaven. Let his portion be with the beasts in the grass of the earth. Let his heart be changed from man's, and let the beast's heart be given unto him. And let seven times pass over him. This matter is by the decree of the watchers, and the demand by the word of the holy ones, to the intent that the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whosoever he will. And he setteth up over it the basest of men. End quote. The dream related has Nebuchadnezzar's present understanding of it superseded throughout, as recorded by Daniel. Verses 6, 7, 8, and 9 are not in the Septuagint for some reason, as we see the Septuagint differs from the Hebrew, as we have seen in the dating previously mentioned, but are in the verses 6, 7, and 8, and 9 are in the Hebrew text, as well as in the ancient Syriac Peshitta version. This dream is similar to the previously mentioned dream found in chapter 2, because they are both about the king. The interpretation is found in verses 23 through 27 describe the king as being in the midst or center of the earth. This put Nebuchadnezzar of prime importance in world history, though not a household word today. According to the previous dream, Nebuchadnezzar was the head of the new world order until the coming of the rock that would finally destroy it. After the rock hit at the feet of the image, the whole image turned to chaff and was blown away. Psalm 1, in this regard, verses 4 and 5, applies to the world plan of history. Quote, "The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous." It is the righteous that remain and the wicked that are removed from the face of the earth. The rock cut out without hands is Christ and his kingdom come, as mentioned in a previous lesson. Here, in this new dream, the great tree was cut down to a stump, yet it and the roots remained. This symbolized the removal of Nebuchadnezzar, leaving only the remnant root of his ways. In the end, Babylon returns, as symbolized in the book of Revelation, as Nebuchadnezzar himself returned to power as well, after his absence. With this in mind, one could conclude that the whole image made in the likeness of Nebuchadnezzar, both here in this chapter as well as in chapter 2, is indeed that of only Nebuchadnezzar and him alone. In chapter 2, the image of the dream had the head of gold that represented Nebuchadnezzar himself, and then the other parts of his body were made of other elements that represented other nations that would follow. One must not forget that the other elements made up his body and were part of it. Now, we see here in modern times that there is much false religion that originates from that area of the world, and that is trying to gain control of the entire earth. The tree stump has been alive all this time, and has really remained secretly in the center of the earth. The tree wants to reach to heaven and have its branches cover the earth to the ends of the earth. The reformers may have been wrong in thinking that the Roman Catholic Church was the Antichrist apostate church simply because they believed that it would continue until the end of this age. However, this may not be true. At least not the way it was anticipated back during the Reformation. The Roman Catholic Church is actually shrinking and cannibalizing its churches, even as much of the evangelical denominations are doing. They close and sell a church property and take the money to keep the other churches afloat and pay salaries. As the corrupted message that they continue to preach drives away real believers, they continue to close their church doors and sell off their properties. After some time, they won't exist. What will remain is something completely different that comes up from the old tree stump. Does that mean that the old Roman Empire or its European states need to come back together again for the end to finally appear? Well, not really, though that could be. It probably means that the Pope or the real man of sin who bills himself as the world's, quote, Ben Adam, end quote, which is the one assuming the favorite title of Jesus Christ as the Son of Man and the Messiah of popular choice, may possibly be quite different than the one the Reformers thought of. The whole image is of Nebuchadnezzar, the man of sin. That represents a truly apostate false religion that denies the fundamental doctrines of the true faith. The man of sin is perhaps Muslim. The entire Vatican may end up being something different than what it is today. It will probably be what is called Sharia compliant, having incorporated the tenets of Islam. Presently, the Vatican retains a semblance or vague shadow of Christianity. However, that will no doubt eventually, even that will give way. Catholicism has always incorporated the false traditions and beliefs of the populace in order to adapt and survive, and is moving in that very same direction today. The massive immigration of Muslims to Europe in all points of the globe is the outstretching of the branches to cover the ends of the earth. Roman Catholicism is no defense against this heretic horde. Revelation 18th chapter's description of the Roman Catholic Church at the end of the age indicates that it is very immoral and corrupt at the point of its final destruction. This doesn't mean that Christians should just surrender to the, quote, inevitable, end quote. Our faith is not of doom and gloom, but that of victory. We know that our side, the side of Christ and His kingdom, are in the end and ultimately victorious. Jesus Christ offers victory to His flock daily. The rock does smash the image and it crumbles. Revelation 19 shows the victory won without human hands. The, quote, band of iron and brass, end quote, in our picture, or our passage, excuse me, shows that Nebuchadnezzar had to be restrained or hindered by fetters while in his sick condition. The interpretation of the dream continued in verses 24 through 26. Quote, "This is the interpretation, O King, and this is the decree of the Most High, which has come upon my Lord the King, that they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. And they shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and they shall wet thee with the dew of heaven, and seven times shall pass over thee, till thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomever he will. And whereas they commanded to leave the stump of the tree roots, thy kingdom shall be sure unto thee. After that thou shalt have known that the heavens do rule." End quote. The "they that shall drive thee from men," end quote, are generally considered the, quote, lesser angels, or sentinels, as some translate it, who are also called the watchers in this passage. Daniel interprets the dream to mean that Nebuchadnezzar would come down with the rare mental illness that is known today as boanthropy. Boanthropy. Which basically causes the sufferer to act much like an ox. O-X. Or some animal. Besides the biblical account of Nebuchadnezzar's illness, there is an ancient account of it on a Babylonian text. This text, labeled BM34113, is kept in the British Museum presently and was translated in 1975. Nebuchadnezzar's son, Evil Murdoch was his name, was in charge of the throne during his father's illness. Evil Murdoch hated his father, but feared him greatly. The passage in Isaiah chapter 14, verses 10 through 23, though many refer to it only as being Satan, is in fact a prophecy in reference to Nebuchadnezzar, the wicked one, and the destruction of Babylon. The obvious evidence for this is found in the fact that his son feared him so much that he had his dead body dug up to be sure that he was dead, as it says in verse 19 of that passage, which reads, quote, "But thou art cast out of thy grave like an abominable branch," end quote. Isaiah 14 also points to the fact that Nebuchadnezzar's fall was due to his great pride, as seen in verses 11 through 13. In Scripture, Nebuchadnezzar is like a human figure of the devil, incarnate, who ruthlessly rules the earth, but who must ultimately submit to God's rule. Verses 28 through 33, quote, "All this came upon King Nebuchadnezzar at the end of 12 months. He walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. The king spake and said, Is this not great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power, and for the honor of my majesty? While the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee, and they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and seven times shall pass over thee, till thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomever he will. The same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar, and he was driven from men, and did eat grass as oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till his hairs were grown like eagle's feathers and his nails like bird's claws. End quote. God had given Nebuchadnezzar a full year to repent and to follow the advice that Daniel had given him in verse 27, which reads, quote, "Therefore, O king, let my counsel be acceptable unto thee, and break off thy sins by righteousness, and thy iniquities by showing mercy to the poor. If it be a lengthening of thy tranquility," end quote. There is a rather strange similarity to the ruler described in the book of Revelation as a beast, though the idea can't be pressed too awfully far. The number 7 as the period of time that the beast is present and rules the earth seems rather symbolic also. Josephus was the first commentator to state that the 7 times shall pass over thee refers to years. Graciously, a year passed by before the prophetic dream came true as an act of God to humble the man of pride, who thought that the world was all about him and for him. This very much shows that God intervenes in the lives of individuals. We are too, in the words of the New Testament, observe both the goodness and severity of God. Romans 11, verse 22. It also shows, among other things, that God really is in control. According to Jeremiah chapter 25, verse 16, Nebuchadnezzar's grandson went insane also, which means this was probably a family trait. Verses 34 through 37. Quote, "And at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes into heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation, and all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven, and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand, or say unto him, What doest thou? At the same time, my reason returned unto me, and for the glory of my kingdom, my honor and brightness returned unto me. And my counselors and my lords sought unto me, and I was established in my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added unto me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth, and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride he is able to abase." Now, according to Nebuchadnezzar's testimony here, it sounds as if Daniel had been counseling him while he was in such a condition. The clause, quote, "and at the end of the days," end quote, indicates that the prophecy was fulfilled to the letter. Nebuchadnezzar testified that his understanding returned only after he lifted up his eyes to heaven for help. Beasts of burden rarely look up and only do so when their attention is drawn there or they are forcibly drawn up. Now, Nebuchadnezzar, who is dubbed the son of Nimrod, or the wicked one, having been humbled, gave testimony to the power, righteousness, and graciousness and greatness of whom he calls the Most High King of Heaven. There are some who seem to think that Nebuchadnezzar's words would indicate that he was converted, that he will be found in the Lamb's Book of Life at the judgment. That is not for us to say. We are not his judge. But, the best I can tell, sadly, the historical fact is that Nebuchadnezzar continued in his idolatry, building temples to false gods and monuments to such all the way to the end of his life. We only could think of God having mercy upon this man's soul. This is the end of our lesson. There are many things to think about, contemplate, pray over, study in this one chapter. There is much more to it. Let's close with prayer. Gracious Father, we thank Thee now for Your Word and Your plan for the ages as well as Your plan for our lives. Cause us to be obedient unto Thee and give Thee praise, acknowledging Your power and bowing our will to Thine. May Thy will be done and Thy kingdom come. In Thy name we pray. Amen.